Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
When the aliens first invaded, they nearly destroyed us. They will be back. There's greatness in you, Ender. The world needs you. You were bred for this. You see things in a way we can't. You alone can understand the enemy. You will be the one to save mankind.
In 3, 2, 1, now!
The trailer for the movie Ender's Game. Before it was a movie, of course, it was a book that many people really loved. Came out in the mid-80s, a science fiction classic. Now many kids still read it. Adults read it as well. How did it transfer from the book to the screen? Has it done what so many have tried to do and failed, especially when it comes to science fiction, and that is make a very good movie out of a very good book? Pastor Ted Giese will join us to review the movie Ender's Game here on Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later, Tammy Ross joins us, a new contributor to GetReligion.org. We'll talk about media coverage of this religion story that didn't turn out to be covered from a religion angle, an Associated Press story about death cafes. You would think if people sit around talking about the ends of their lives, you would have a religion angle there. The AP didn't find one, neither did some others. We'll find out why with Tammy Ross a little bit later in this hour. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us to continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament. We will be at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 with Moses. That's our Christ in the Old Testament a little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's an instructor in the course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Canada, titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
How does this movie do at going from book to movie?
I didn't read it when I was a teenager. I read it the week before I went and saw the movie, so it's super fresh in my mind. Of course, I'm a little further away from being a teenager than a lot of people might be who read the book originally. And I kind of think that it didn't do such a hot job. Earlier in the year, we looked at The Great Gatsby. That was one that I thought did a fantastic job of going from book to screen. This one, maybe not as good.
What about it? Is it just the mechanics of taking a complex story that has a lot of characters, that has a lot of those characters' development, and kind of squeezing it into the 2 hour or so time frame that film requires?
Yeah, you know, I often find that, like, if you take a book, depending on how dense the writing is, usually like 100 pages is like an hour. So you always end up cutting stuff out. You have to work on it to make it happen the way you want it to happen as a filmmaker. And sometimes the actual authors are involved in the process, and Orson Scott Card, the writer of the book, was involved in the process. He's one of the producers of the movie, and there's like 16 producers. So that's a lot of people adding their opinion that's attached to money to make something happen, right? So You get his input in how it gets turned into a movie, but he may not be the only person providing that input along the way. Sometimes you have people who do like film treatments, like write the screenplay themselves. There was a movie quite a while ago, Something Wicked This Way Comes, which is also kind of a kid's novel by Ray Bradbury, and he actually got to write the entire script for the movie, and the movie is a little different than the book. but then the book was also based on a short story he had done. And it's kind of similar for this Ender's Game in that it started out as a short story, then he took that, this Orson Scott card, he took that short story, he made the book, and now he was involved in the movie. But I don't think he had complete control over everything that was in the movie, I don't think. Not from what I can tell, because the director also has writing credits for the movie itself. So there are definitely some big changes that occurred compared to the book, to the movie, things that, you know, I didn't... Well, I thought maybe one thing they would change, but I didn't know what they were going to do with it. And then it was kind of a big... It ended up being a big part of the overall themes of the book, which kind of some of them didn't come out in the movie itself.
What's the story of Ender's Game?
The story of Ender's Game is it's a science fiction story set in the future. It's less science fiction-like than Gravity. This has got some more of the science fiction fantasy kind of elements in it, but it's still kind of more on the hard science end of things on some things. But it's set in the future. Humanity has been faced with an alien invasion twice, repelled it two times, and now they're planning for a third invasion of these aliens. And what they've done is they've taken the best and brightest of their children, sent them to military academies to find in and amongst those kids the next Napoleon, the next, you know, Julius Caesar, the next Alexander the Great, somebody who's going to be able to be a conqueror and, you know, fight for humanity and defend them against these aliens. So then you get this little kid, Ender Wiggins, and he ends up going into this academy. He's like a six-year-old kid, so it follows him being from 6 years old to being 15 years old, and his experience being away from home, being at this military academy, dealing with other students, dealing with instructors, dealing with the task at hand. And really, along the way, he moves from being like studying to be like a grunt soldier right up to being the commander of like a fleet in outer space. And the whole way through, it's him going through this training process and dealing with that. So that's kind of like the story. But the story has all these themes, like there's a religious theme in it. There's themes of bullying and dealing with that. There's themes of abandonment, dealing with separation from family, all sorts of things like that. A friend that also went to the movie with me said that the movie was kind of like Harry Potter meets Starship Trooper with a smidgen of Full Metal Jacket in it. So that's how he kind of looked at it, and that's pretty much the case. But just a smidgen of Full Metal Jacket. It's not Kubrick-esque kind of like heavy-duty stuff. So,
okay, let's talk a bit about those themes, beginning with the broadest one of all. What would you say the message, if there is a message, to this film is?
Well, there's kind of a moral question in it, which is it's not just that you win the game, it's how you win it. So that's kind of an underlying theme, and that hits on a couple things. There's a little bit of there's some antagonism between students and teachers and stuff in the film itself, and some different philosophies on how to deal with these children, because they are just children, like they're little kids. Basically, they do in the film have slightly older kids playing these parts. I think it would be very distressing to see a six-year-old, like an actual six-year-old in this. Like reading the book, I'm thinking about that as I'm reading it. In the movie, they have some older actors, but they're not. They're still in that kind of tween age group. So that's one of the big things is kind of like how maybe just war theory, but also like how you interact with the way you win a war might be part of that. I don't really want to give away the ending in case somebody doesn't know how it ends, there are some. That's one of the main themes.
With without giving away too much of the storyline there. Is this a... Harry Potter appealed to a lot of kids because it was kind of a kid's fantasy. A kid who gets to kind of leave the mundane world and enter into a world where maybe adults are kind of a little more peripheral, although certainly influential, and where they kind of realize their great potential even as a little kid. Is that part of what's going on here? Is that why your friend was found the connection between Harry Potter and Ender's Game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, that's the way this movie comes across. And that's maybe one of the differences between the movie and the book. The book is, there's more tension. There's always more stress. It's very bleak in a lot of ways, and the emotional stuff that the kids are going through are really harsh. And he isn't maybe as virtuous as Harry Potter is in the Harry Potter books either. So it's a little more complex on that end of things. And they don't quite hit that in the movie as they go through it. But yeah, there is this kind of sense that, you know, I'm leaving Earth on the jet plane. It's like he's got, instead of the train that gets you to Hogwarts, he's got like a, you know, a rocket ship that shoots him to the school out in space. And so there are some things like that, and you get particular interesting teachers. It doesn't have the same rogues gallery of teachers that you get in Harry Potter, but you do have a couple distinct people who are involved in his growth as a character.
What does the movie say at the end with regard to war, with regard to what can be, in many cases, I want to say the ugly side of war, but it's always got an ugly side, the reality of war?
The book was originally written kind of during the Cold War period. So there's a real, like, the Cold War period is this us and them kind of thing. And you get that in the movie. I think that the way war is engaged with young people right now, it's more complicated because it's when you start digging into the way the stuff, how war works in the world today, it's not as monumental as us and them. Like, it's much more complex, and there's some people are maybe your friends, maybe not your friends, all that kind of stuff. That's not the way the story goes. So in the book, you get, and they kind of soften this in the movie, but in the book, the alien invaders, they use a really kind of slang, derogatory term for them. And it's right from the generals right down to civilian children that all use the same term. And it's almost something more akin to the way that people would talk about Germans during World War II. Or, you know, there's this little term they use. Really pejorative, like, and could be really offensive to some people. And they soften that in the movie. But that's part and parcel of this really distinct line that's drawn in the sand, you know, like us and them. So in the end, the movie tries to kind of, at the end, the very end of the movie, without giving too much of it away, it does kind of try to pull back from that. And even just the way that the material is presented in the film, it's pulling back from that too. It's much harsher in the book itself, and I think it's because of when the book was written originally. So maybe things are a little more complex now, I think, for a 15-year-old trying to figure out how war works in the world or how he would fit into that.
With only about 20 seconds here, any pastoral concerns, because a lot of kids are going to go see this movie, without a doubt, probably with their parents who read the book, any pastoral concerns with about 20 seconds?
The movie itself is PG, so it's rated for younger people. But I think that it's a good opportunity. My pastoral concern would be is to not go see it and miss talking about some of the main themes in there, like bullying, things of that nature. If you already have somebody in your family who read the book, this is going to be the perfect opportunity to talk about that some more. Even if you haven't been talking about it yet, take that opportunity and talk about that, because it's not just on the interpersonal bullying, it's also the big stage of bullying, too, in the book and in the movie.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's an instructor for an online course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Canada titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And you can read his review of Ender's Game at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, Tammy Ross with GetReligion.org. Stay tuned.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what?
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.